Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, back again with part two of our The King Who Came to Earth biography is Richard Lawrence. Richard is a spiritual teacher and international best-selling author whose books have been sold in many countries. These include the international bestseller Unlock Your Psychic Powers, Journey into Supermind, Realize Your Inner Potential, and God's Guides and Guardian Angels. Richard has participated in hundreds of TV and radio shows, talks and seminars worldwide, including GB News, Talk TV, Times Radio, and Coast to Coast AM. In addition to having a column in The Observer, he has written for The Daily Express, The Daily Mail, The Sun, Women's World, Here's Health, and Health and Fitness, amongst other journals. Richard teaches events and workshops such as Awaken Your Chakras at the Aetherius Society in London. In this part two, of The King Who Came to Earth, the biography of Dr. George King, the founder of the Aetherius Society, we discuss Dr. King's amazing love for Mother Earth Gaia and Operation Sunbeam. Also, we talk about Operation Prayer Power and his karmic manipulation abilities, and of course, about the good and evil forces that is on Earth at this moment, and carrying on Dr. King's wonderful, incredible legacy. Richard, I'd like to welcome you back for part two of The King Who Came to Earth, all about the biography of Dr. George King and the Aetherius Society.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Lovely to be back.
Thank you. Thank you. And his Dr. King's absolutely fascinating, you know, cosmic, incredible life on Earth. And, you know, we was talking about in part one that he really didn't, he wasn't, you know, he was very shy, which is just amazing, you know. Yeah. And for him to reach such heightened states of samadhi, but he didn't use it for his own ascension. He used that heightened state to open a channel to bring in divine intelligence so that he could give out these teachings, these high esoteric, incredible, you know, mystical teachings. The truth teachings to humanity, his service of humanity, was amazing. But also, I'd like to just talk about now his devotion to Mother Earth. You know, why his devotion to Mother Earth and the development of Operation Sunbeam. So Dr. King's relationship with Mother Earth as a living goddess seems to be the deepest driving force of his mission. You describe him leaving even cosmic consciousness because he couldn't bear her suffering, and later meeting the Lords of the Ineffable Flame at the Planet's Claw, which made his connection to the Earth's consciousness so profound compared to other spiritual teachers. Can you tell us all about that?
Yeah, I'd love to, because this was his number one driving force. I mean, he was completely committed to service to humanity. And I actually had the privilege of hearing him pray. I mean, I was with him on a holy mountain, Holston Down, that we go to, by the way. We're going there actually on the 20th and 21st of May. May the 20th, we hope to do a massive pilgrimage, and everyone's invited, especially UK Health Radio. I'm sorry, I said
May. It's actually June.
Ah, yeah, I've corrected myself. I'm going to say that. Can I say that again?
Yeah, no problem.
I've been corrected. Thank you for correcting me there, James. Yeah, it's the 20th and 21st of June.
Oh, June.
Not
wonderful.
May.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be going there, mm-hmm. and we're going to be holding a pilgrimage on the 20th, on the Saturday. Mm-hmm. Everyone's invited. In fact, we're going to arrange coaches to come down from London. We hope to get hundreds of people there if we can.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and come.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I'll be very unhappy if you don't come.
No, I'm going to come. Yeah.
We want you there. And it's going to be an amazing weekend, because actually the Sunday happens to be the solstice as well. So we're going to go back up on the solstice. But that's not the main reason we're going. The main reason we're going is for world peace. Mm-hmm. And this is a mountain, actually, or it's really a hill, anyone can climb it pretty much, which was charged through Dr. King by the Master Jesus himself, who's the great master of love, very misunderstood, misrepresented, I would say, as is Saint Peter misrepresented. He's portrayed as a sort of weak person who betrayed Jesus. He's not, he wasn't. He was a really courageous master, Saint Peter. But anyway, we're going up there and we're going to be sending out healing. But the thing that really, coming to your point, motivated Dr. King above all else was this love for the Mother Earth. He absolutely loved the Mother Earth. And I believe, it's my own belief, this, that he had a connection as the avatar he was. In other words, by avatar, we mean an interplanetary being. Now, he didn't go around claiming this. Some people close to him knew this. And we're now revealing it in The King Who Came to Earth, his true caliber. I personally believe he had a connection with the Mother Earth as a living intelligence, because the Mother Earth isn't just a rock. You know, it's a living being with a great flame and a fantastic heart. There's a practice which I believe you've done on your show actually before, called the Violet Flame Practice, which is the flame which comes from the Mother Earth, and anyone can do it. And it will change us. It will change our consciousness. It will protect us. It will prepare us for a spiritual exercise. But it will also bring a connection between us and the Mother Earth. And he was, I mean, there are a few things that moved him. He was very, very moved by the sacrifice that Jesus made. This affected him emotionally. He didn't fully agree with it, by the way. That master should have allowed himself to be killed, because he didn't have to, but he respected it and he admired it and he loved Jesus for that. He had a tremendous love for the Lord Babaji because of his total sacrifice. He's been here for millennia and will be, and he himself is even more advanced than Jesus. The Lord Babaji is a very highly elevated
A
interplanetary
Mahavata.
being.
Yes, he's a Mahavata.
So he had this tremendous love for him, which moved. But the thing that moved him most was the sacrifice being made by the Mother Earth, because the Mother Earth is holding back her energies, is confined within the ionosphere. They used to call it the ring pass knot, connected in some way to the ozone layer, you might say. So the energies are being withheld from her for the sake of humanity. We can't take them. We are too coarse. I mean, there are beings living, and this is going to actually freak people out, and they won't believe this, and that's okay. But there are beings living on the sun.
Yes,
We can't conceive of that. That's
the lords of the
the
sun.
lords of the sun.
The
And
lord.
that's been known. You'll find it in ancient Greek legends. You'll find it in the Hindu scripts. There
They
are
are the
beings,
highest. They are the
they
high
are the
of the
highest of the
high.
high. So there are conditions there and heat there that beyond our imaginings that these beings can not only survive in, they can embrace. In fact, it's part of their being, that heat and that fire. So the Mother Earth doesn't need to be protected from sun rays or ultraviolet emission or anything. She doesn't need it. It's for us. We can't take the cosmic ray bombardment. And as a result, she's been deprived, terribly deprived. Never mind the pollution, never mind the dreadful lowering of the vibrations. And I don't just mean by people on this physical world. Sadly speaking, there are realms even lower than this one. And they've been depicted by and seen, I believe, by, say, great artists like Goya, depicted in some way anyway by Dante. There are some seers who have seen the dark aspect. Actually, Teresa, the great Saint Teresa of Avila, you know, she was taken to the hells and saw it and described it. But with Dr. King, though, he first of all, he wanted to transmute evil. He was a fighter, and he was a fighter of evil with love, fight with love, not with physical weapons. But
Of course.
he, on this earth anyway, on this realm, but he was so moved by the gross pollution and sacrifice that's been made by the Mother Earth
Yes.
that he set his number one priority to try and balance out this terrible debt that we have to her, which mm-hmm. most people aren't aware of. You know, people, if we knew someone who was feelingless with treated their families wrong, treated their friends wrong, perhaps treated their community wrong, had no remorse, had no guilt, had no sense of what harm they were doing to people, didn't mind doing harm to people, we'd regard them as a psychopath. And yet we do that to the Mother Earth.
Yes.
We are global psychopaths.
Do you think that, because I really believe this, like our collective consciousness, because we are so connected with the Mother Earth and there's only oneness, our collective consciousness, because we're in such a lower state at this time, the majority of humanity is not mm-hmm. awakened.
Mm-hmm.
That collective consciousness goes out and affects the weather, natural disasters. You know, really, if all of humanity was in a heightened state of awakening and higher consciousness, the weather would be lovely in temperament. We wouldn't have these harsh, you know, winters and all of this and all of these natural disasters and all of these states. It's like Mother Earth is bearing out and telling us, no, it's you who affects me. Yeah, I'm just here, but it's your consciousness. You have to awaken. You have to take love. You have to love everything for us and the world and the earth to become balanced and stable again. And I think that Mother Earth is stopping her evolution because she's evolving as well.
Yeah.
To wait for us to evolve so that we can be living in, well, it will be heaven on earth.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible thing. I agree with you 100%. She's holding herself back. I think the word patience should be named after her.
Yes.
She's just waiting, and she doesn't have to. That's the point. It's not like she has to.
Yes.
This is the difference between someone who's going through their own karma and, you know, and suffering the brickbats and the pains and the different things that their own karma has, or our own karma brings at times. She isn't. This isn't her karma. This is our karma. She doesn't need this. She doesn't deserve this. She's still taking it for us. So let's be positive just for a second. What Dr. King did, and he was onto ecology before it was fashionable. I mean, in the late 60s, early 70s, he was talking about ecology. But for him, at the very heart of ecology is not we must do this for our future, for our grandchildren and for future generations and for us, in other words. No, we must do this for her. And we come second. We are less important. The human race in its entirety is less important than the Mother Earth in her singularity. She is a far greater intelligence. She's a composition of numerous intelligences that have come together, advanced ones, to create her. And she's putting up with this. So he came up with a mission, which I think you mentioned at the end of last show, called Operation Sunbeam. And the purpose of that mission is to give back to her some energy through her psychic centers or chakras, if you like. Now, you know, if people do a ritual, and they do, and let's face it, the ancient Greeks wonderfully did rituals for Gaia, goddess Gaia. They put her at the top, you know, of their theogony or whatever you call it, their list of gods, and they were right to do so. If let's take an indigenous tribe goes out and does a ritual of perhaps, when I say sacrifice, I don't mean human sacrifice or anything or animal or nothing that, but some sacrificial ritual for her, that's all very good. But the energy from those rituals doesn't go straight to her.
Oh.
This is something that Dr. King knew as a master, as an avatar, that he brought to Earth this knowledge with him.
Yes.
Because if we pray for the Mother Earth, and we should, it's a good karmic manipulation, as something we should do, but the energy itself will go out into the ethers around Earth. And it could, as you mentioned earlier, it could improve weather conditions. It could improve the conditions around the Earth. It could certainly help many people. It will start to balance out karma something we should all do. And in the theorist side, I think, you know, we do. It's one of our 12 blessings.
Yes.
Perhaps in some ways to us as individuals, one way, the most important of them all is the seventh blessing for the Mother Earth. But it doesn't go to her. For the energy to go to her, Dr. King knew. And by the way, when he invented Operation Sunbeam, he wasn't in somatic trance. He wasn't in meditation. He was sitting down, having a drink.
I just love that.
This
I love his humanity, you know.
Which was just, yeah. I'm just throwing that in to show, again, the maverick, the spiritual maverick. Don't get me wrong. He had meditated. He had entered. He had visited her, as you say.
Yes.
He had entered deep states of consciousness in connection with Mother Earth. But on this occasion, he wasn't. Mm. And it was a mission that he devised so that energy could be sent to her, not into the ethers around her. There's quite a technical point. And it actually, if you like, was like a cosmic global manifestation of his healing technique that he devised that's in the book You Too Can Heal, where we heal people through their chakras.
Yes.
In this case, the energy was going to go into her psychic centers, and it does go. And we've done it this very month, and we'll do it next month, and we'll do it the month after. Mm. We do this regularly, and we'll continue to do so. But we can't provide the kind of energy that would be acceptable to her. I'm sorry, we have to have a certain humility. And much as we might want to, at the moment, the quality of the energy that we are able to transmit isn't going to be beneficial to her.
Yes.
So this he knew. So he enabled some cooperating, wonderful extraterrestrial intelligences to provide the source of the energy, which they do. It's all arranged. We have a complete plan for this. And so the energy goes to psychic centers. For example, there's one in Lake Tanganyika.
Yeah.
There's one in Scotland.
Yeah.
There's one in Lake Powell. There's one in the Arctic. And there's two more in
Australia.
California. When I say there's one, I'm talking about centers that are used in Operation Sunbeam.
Oh, okay.
There are centers all over. I mean, I'd be surprised if there wasn't one in Australia. I don't know, but I'd be surprised. And that I know there's one in, for example, in Sri Lanka and other parts. In fact, I do know there's one off New Zealand somewhere. But these are ones we can use that he was able to arrange for us to use.
Wow.
And we do this, and he started it in the 1960s, and we've run it ever since. And so this is a token repayment. It's only a drop in an ocean compared to what she's given to us, but at least there's something going on where people of Earth are at least arranging for energy and providing the apparatus, because we use physical apparatus, because he invented scientific apparatus. This is where he was so different. He liked to combine physical, practical equipment
with spirituality.
With spirituality, yeah.
Amazing.
So if you take another mission, which isn't, it's for ecology, but not technically the Mother Earth, Operation Prayer Power that we do, it's a very extremely clever idea. It's so simple, the concept, that some people can't get their heads around it because they don't apply the same kind of logic and practical logic to spirituality that they would apply to their work, to their finances, to their planning their next holiday or whatever it might be. Somehow, when it's spirituality, you know, it doesn't matter. We'll go in, we'll read this. Whatever. I don't want to name, I don't want to pick on a religion, but it's lip service that's given to it. And it doesn't seem to bother them. Maybe because they don't really, really believe it, and they certainly don't know it. Maybe it's that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But with him, he knew it. So he devised equipment whereby we can not only pray, everyone can pray, but we can store the prayer energy so that when it's really needed, it's all about timing. When it's really needed, it can be sent out. So you get a crisis, you get a peace negotiation, let us say, in the Middle East or wherever it might be, you know it's going on, you have, say, 1,000 hours of people praying stored in a physical container. I know this is far out, But it's very simple, really. And then you can send it with the help of higher intelligences to that peace negotiation when you want to, rather than just releasing it as you would do normally. You have, oh, I think I'll pray at 9 o'clock tonight, fine. And it goes out and it's still good, but you don't have the element of timing and you don't have the element of concentrated energy.
Yes.
The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And also, that's a collective. That's lots of people praying together. Which heightens that. That's powerful. It's not just one person. It's many bringing that concentrated, divine love light energy of the prayer and putting it into that space. That's unbelievable. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, when we gather, for example, as we're going to, as I mentioned, Holston down North Devon on June the 20th, if we get 200 to 300 people up there, which we would hope to do, who knows how many will come? I mean, everyone's welcome. You don't have to be in the Aetherius Society. You can belong to whatever path or none.
Yes,
but you can come up and pray for the world with us. We use a combination of prayers, in other words, English prayers, some from the 12 blessings, and we use mantra, Sanskrit mantras, and we combine these two together and we send the energy out. Now, when you get that concentration of people, as you rightly say, and particularly on a holy spot, because Holston Down is a very, it's not just a it's not just a blessed mountain, it's a charged mountain. And so the energy there is accessible. You can feel it. You don't, come along and test it. You don't have to believe it. But you don't have to have faith.
Yes.
Just try it out and see whether you feel it. And so you have the combination of the number of people, maybe from all different parts of the world, different backgrounds. They only want one thing, which is world peace. You have the concentration of the power in the holy place, which is specifically charged so that that power can be released. And it goes out. And we have had world-changing things happen. By the last time we did it, there was a completely unpredicted change I think it was in Gaza, and suddenly, which, you know, don't get me wrong, it's terrible there, but suddenly, unpredicted, they opened, I believe I'm right in saying this, corridors for aid to get in, and they had a temporary ceasefire. And this, I think, was in within hours.
I remember.
Of us doing that.
Yeah, absolutely profound. The power of prayer is, you know, and that's one thing we can all give. We can all do that, and we can all give out the energy to the world, which if everyone does that, imagine the power.
Yeah.
You know, imagine the world could be changed in, you know, very soon if all people started to recognize their power within and that they are a healed healer and they can help give that energy out.
Yeah, and do you know, it's another aspect of that. It's really good for the individual as well.
Yes.
Because the most debilitating, I used to have a column in The Observer, mind-body column, and I did a lot of research. I found it's generally agreed, and I think people know this now, the most stressful feeling you can have is a feeling of helplessness.
Mm.
When you're in a situation that you think you can't change, you can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a debilitating feeling, and it causes various conditions, health conditions, or can do. Now, when it comes to world events, people feel that way. And they're very frustrated. They're frustrated with politicians. They're frustrated with the news. They're frustrated in many ways. But they look, and everyone has different opinions about whose fault it is, but they look at the news. They don't think, I can actually do something about this. You can.
Yes.
That's Dr. King's message. He spoke about the fact there's only one crisis on earth, and that's a spiritual energy crisis.
Not political. It's not environmental. It's spiritual.
It's spiritual. And if that changes, then the consciousness of the world changes, then you've got peace.
That's right.
Then you've got charity.
Mm.
Then you've got, you know, harmony. That has to change. But the individual, somebody might be at home, somebody listening to this show or watching this show might feel, what can I do? You know, I don't leave my house much. Maybe I can. Yes, you can do something. You can raise your hands. I would recommend the 12 blessings, but it doesn't have to be the 12 blessings. But you can say a prayer, or just if you don't believe in prayer, you can send healing. You can send goodness out with your hands raised, and you can bring a change. And this will do some good, but it'll also do you some good.
That's right.
Because that feeling of helplessness will start to go away.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Wow. And in chapter 6, about the cosmic battles.
Yeah.
And the evil forces.
Mm.
And he talks about the three adepts and the mission. The Operation Karma Light against the worst evil entities. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
This is, again, you know, far out warning again, another radical thing. We are in an age of fighting evil, but fighting evil with love and fighting it with truth.
Yes.
I'll just give an off just as an aside. There's been a lot of evil. This is only a little example, tiny example of cover-up around UFOs. It's something I've been very involved in. I won't get detoured on it. But Dr. King was way ahead of his time. In 1958, he held a rally in Trafalgar Square where he campaigned for the governments to tell the truth about UFOs. Now, no, I don't think anyone hardly, according to polls nowadays, actually believe governments tell the truth about them. We know they don't. We know they've lied. It's well known. As a matter of fact, I went there on the 65th anniversary of that particular rally with a couple of friends who were filming. We did a film there about it to mark it.
Mm.
And that night, all three of us had sightings in different places. Anyway, I'm getting off your topic. All I'm illustrating is that this is an evil thing, this silence group that covers up that and other things, by the way, such as the dangers of atomic radiation, which Dr. King also campaigned on in the 50s and has been proved completely correct about.
Yes.
But when we come to the chapter 6,
yes,
the battles that are fought with the dark forces, see, these are the forces that are really behind it. Now, this isn't pleasant. But to know truth, one has to face unpleasant truths as well as pleasant truths.
Because we live in a dark and light world, yeah. You know, it's, yeah.
And so, you know, the behavior on this world can only be described, what we're seeing, you know, we can have a mass of humanity, but yeah. It can only be explained really through the influence of dark forces and the intervention of forces of light.
That's it.
Those are the two things at work. What you've got going on is the mass of humanity who perhaps don't even believe in either of those things, who just carry on behaving in a certain way. They don't know. You get a president, not naming any particular name, or prime minister, who comes to power, isn't essentially a bad person, and within a year or two, they're a warmonger. And this is something, this is just easy for a very powerful dark force to bring about, because most average people can't contend with the very powerful dark forces down there. Now, the three adepts that you mentioned were here to fight battles with some of those dark forces. Actually, the Book of Revelation, which is interesting to me, because I this is off topic here, but I have had a contact with the person who wrote it. From the other, who isn't Saint John, by the way. It's not the Saint John who's the disciple. He's another Saint John. Oh, he's not. I think he's a saint, but whether the church think they're the same person, they aren't, and some people know they aren't. He's called John of Patmos. It's interesting to me, and I'm sorry to get off topic slightly here, but he's the person who coined the term Armageddon. In the Book of Revelation. That's where these things were warned about.
Yeah, the end of time.
He I believe, has a great interest in the Aetherius Society now, on a higher realm.
Yeah.
He's not ascended, but he's a wonderful, wonderful person. But that's aside. But that battle, as prophesied there, and not only there, prophesied in some Mayan prophecies, prophesied in some
Greek
prophecies.
It's been going
Greek on
since the beginning of time.
Yeah. This great battle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness has taken place. It's not over, by the way. They still exist, unfortunately, but not all of them exist. Yeah. The worst of them were transmuted by the three adepts. And Dr. King was very engaged in that whole undertaking. He received the communications about it, which we have. He revealed much of it. We celebrate it in some of our services. But, of course, it's not over. And there are, I've mentioned before, I think, perhaps in the last show, there are people like Goya, the artist, Dante, Teresa of Avila, or maybe it was a show, I'm sorry. But who saw these things and spoke of them. But what they didn't do, any of them, was give a way of combating it.
Yeah.
They reveal the truth of it.
But they never bring in the light and how we can overcome that.
Yeah, that's right. But some of those forces are so powerful, it required the intervention of very advanced beings, the three adepts, you name them, and Dr. King himself, in a higher aspect, is connected very much as a part of one of these, or is an aspect of one of those.
Yes.
He is a warrior by nature, which is why it was so difficult for him, above all other avatars really, to be a conscientious objector when the Second World War came. But that's a very different kind of war. That's not a war fought with karmic permission. I'm not going into whether or not it should have been fought, but it's a different thing. But these battles are all fought with karmic permission to bring about a transmutation of evil. But only so much intervention is allowed. That's the problem we have, and that's back to karma again.
That's back to, you know, the free will that we have on this earth. And I always say, we can't bring in this new earth that is emerging in this great awakening time over the darkness. The darkness must be forced out into the open. And I think that's what's causing mass chaos and pushing people to the precipice, forcing them to change, forcing them to seek a spiritual path, forcing them to turn inward. Because, you know, it's the unrest and it's always the contrast, the suffering, as Buddha would say, that causes us to know the goodness, that causes us to know the light, you know, to bring that in. And I think, and also darkness has within it, I believe, the seed of its own self-destruction. It
It's
cannot.
it's mental. It is a mental health, let me put it that way, condition to be a dark force.
Yes, yes.
It's crazy. Mm. It's a stupid way to carry on, even to yourself.
Yes.
It's a manic behavior, and it needs to be transmuted.
Mm.
And we can, and there's a very great point that was actually made in one of the transmissions Dr. King channeled, which is called Fight Ye the Evil, is that the old school thought, and by the way, in this instance, again, Dr. King was a spiritual maverick because he even taught certain ascended masters that the old way of just detaching and not engaging in full protection is no longer applicable in these days. They did it for a wonderful reason.
Yes.
These are perfect beings compared to us. But there was a big change, and he saw that shift, and he even educated ascended masters, as the avatar he was, in that regard, because it was necessary.
Yes.
And in fact, the Lord Babaji paid him a great tribute for that and acknowledged that.
Wow.
Of course, knew that himself. Because look at it this way. If there is a dark force, the old school, and you'll see it in certain theosophical writings, there's a statement which says, seal the door where evil dwells. And even if when you get a person I admire tremendously, Saint Teresa, who, because I can relate to the experience that she had, which was she described as an arrow in her heart, which I take to be a beam of energy transmitted. She said it was by an angel. That's her way of looking at it. I've had a similar experience myself. I know what can happen and how the energies can be raised up through your consciousness when a beam like that is transmitted to your heart. So I have tremendous affinity for her. But when she went down and saw what she called the hells, and she determined, and she was no nonsense, she didn't mess around like some of the other people apparently in her convent who she found very lackadaisical and half-baked. Those are my words, not hers. But she was a very dynamic lady. But she didn't express any, and this isn't a fault, but she just didn't express any way of helping these people. I think with Dante the same. I think there was great compassion in his Inferno, actually, for those people. But there isn't a sense of hope. That's the scenario. We don't want to get into that scenario. Don't do it. Don't behave like that, and don't go to hell. Whereas Dr. King comes along and says, actually,
he gives you a solution.
Yeah, and if you fight the evil, as long as you're able to, and you've got to be sensible, not take on something you can't do. But as long as you can fight, if you do fight it, you're helping that evil person.
That's right.
Because really they're a spark of God.
That's right. We all are. But
we all are.
And that's why he kept saying, but fight with love.
Fight with love.
You can't fight evil with evil. It's got to be with the love. You've got to be with light.
Exactly.
You know? And I believe every single, you know, it's simple. Do no harm to oneself, to another, and to Mother Earth, and to all living beings.
Do no harm, and do a lot of good as well.
Bring in the light, bring in the love, and do you? Yeah. You know, I think giving out that divine love light energy, you know, of God, Goddess, of Source, that's overcoming that negative and the darkness. That's bringing more light into our realm, you know.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you know one thing Dr. King used to say? He said, no one's a closer relative of yours than people living in China, people living in South America. We are all completely related.
We are.
And this is a problem that humanity has, I think, that we go from, you know, family unit, community, maybe tribe, maybe nation. We don't see ourselves as one race. And so there is a certain ignorance there, because we don't feel responsible for other life. A lot of people don't. They don't think it's their concern. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a kind of psychosis, actually, because we are part of all. And likewise, even more so, the planet.
Yes.
We don't feel, and a lot of people don't even believe, she's a living being who feels pain, who meditates, who suffers, who sacrifices. This should be our overriding motivating force. Yes, we should take care of our loved ones, our community, but even more so, we should take care, as far as we can anyway, of Mother Earth.
Yes, and all beings on, because there's only one force, there's only one creator, there's only one super soul, and we're all a little divine flame of that spark of that one super soul, aren't we? And it's soul consciousness. There's only one soul consciousness shared by all of humanity and all living beings.
Yeah.
When you come down to it, we're all the same. We're all sharing that same soul consciousness. So that means you can't do harm on another, because you'll be harming yourself, because whatever you give out in this cause and effect universe, in the realm, it comes back to you.
And you won't want to either when you get to a certain point. You'll see it for the nonsense it is. There's a wonderful line, actually, in one of the prayers in the 12 blessings. And the last line of that prayer is this: there will be no barriers now. And that, you know, there'll be, and this is, you know, what we should want to achieve. There should be no barriers, obviously, between races, between cultures, between groupings, etc., nations. Those shouldn't exist. But there should be no barriers within us, which are, in my terms, the way I look at it, because I run events. I'm running an event at the end of March, actually, March 28th, Awaken Your Chakras again.
Wonderful.
And there are barriers within the chakras, or blockages, if you want to call them that. Mm. And we fabricate these things through various modes of behavior. In the case of a dark force, they're extreme modes of behavior, but they're also creating these massive barriers to the light, which is there. You know, we should let in the light, and we should allow the light to express itself. And we can do that, but we have to break down these internal barriers and transmute them. And part of that is transmuting the dark force energy that is out there. It's no good pretending it isn't. Some people like to pretend it isn't. They don't want to talk about it.
They
want
to live in the light. And no, you can't do that.
I mean, I've actually seen teachers, very well-known teachers, who'll tell you not to let, you know, block off any bad thoughts that come immediately and so on. So any unpleasant thought that comes along, people are taught by some so-called teachers to block out. But I'm sorry, we have to see that these thoughts exist. Yes, if they're a bad thought, we should transmute it. Yeah. We should raise it. Yes, we should. But we can't do that unless we identify it.
That's it. Yeah.
And when it comes to the same is true of globally, we have to know, sadly, tragically, there are very dark forces out there. Mm. And you can see it. You can see it at work. Mm. As I mentioned, you can see it in the way some world leaders change when they gain power. Because some dark force has decided that it's worth their energy, some really dark force, to change that person from what they were when they were elected. Mm-hmm. And it, you've seen it over and over again through history.
But I think that, you know, we come down here, we come from the oneness and we come into this world of duality, light, dark, good, evil, masculine, feminine, you know, and it's about learning our darkness and our light and embracing that darkness, going into the shadow, embracing the darkness, because it's part of who we are. As a woman, we have the dark goddess and the light goddess. We have the Kali and we have the Mother Mary. You know, it's all of finding the balance and the wholeness. That's, I think that is enlightenment between the two sides of it, you know, and embracing it. Because when you embrace it, you bring it up to the light.
It's yes, what I'd say is that we have to transmute it.
Yes.
And you can't transmute something that you don't recognize, even within you. And this can be painful. I mean, I've had more than once this strange experience, I don't know whether you have, where I've been looking sometimes into my childhood or into past events and recognizing a lesson for me. And it isn't just one memory of one thing. It represents a certain mode of behavior in me that needed correction. And when we face faults in ourselves, this can be painful.
Yes.
It can be unpleasant. Mm. You don't really want to do it. But at the same time as I've been doing that, right in the midst of doing that and feeling uncomfortable, maybe even guilty, a great peace has overwhelmed me.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. And it's very hard to explain how you can feel at the same time how wrong I was and feel this wonderful peace. And isn't life marvelous?
Yes.
All at the same time. But it happens.
How do you personally hold on to that vision of the future? He wants to, you know, his vision of the future with the Aetherius Society, you know, what did he, and also, is he ascended now?
he is. I mean, he's above ascended, because an ascended master is basically a person from this earth, male or female, who has mastered every single lesson
in this realm.
On all the realms.
Yeah.
Of this earth.
Yeah. On all the realms of this.
But it has to be. You're right, though, to pick out this realm.
Then you can go on to the
thing,
other.
Dr. King, has to be done here. This is the realm where everybody comes together.
Yes.
And it has to take place here, essentially, on this realm. Mm. They've mastered all their lessons, but they're from the earth. Mm. They could leave. They could go to another planet. Some do. Mm. But the ascended masters are those who are wonderful. I mean, we owe existence to them.
Yes.
I mean, if they weren't here, we would be a matter of minutes that we'd survive without them holding the karmic light. So these are wonderful beings that have agreed to stay here. But Dr. King isn't from this world. He's from a higher world, and he's returned to that world. But I will say one thing. His presence can be felt, is felt, not just by me, it's very much felt by me, but many others, including people who are completely brand new to us, who've told me they had a vision of him during an event, and they didn't know who it was till they later saw a photograph of him for the first time and said, "That's the person I saw standing right behind you." Wow. So he's very much around. I want to stress that too. As is Jesus, by the way, as are other masters. Lord Buddha is on earth.
Yes, yes.
So they haven't kind of gone, but they are very limited by us as to how much they can help us. So when he was on earth, strangely enough, although he was under much more limitation in terms of his physical and even mental abilities, it's extraordinary to hold a genius in your brain, not a genius like our artist, musician, scientist, but a genius of a cosmic nature in a terrestrial brain.
Yes.
That would turn almost anybody loopy, you know, but he was very balanced.
Genius, yeah, spiritual.
Yeah. Genius, yeah.
Wow. And the Aetherius Society shall, you know, is going on. And
we hope so. I mean, you know, one of the problems we have, I will say, is that our teachings, a whole aspect of them, is very advanced indeed, and quite hard to take on board, and sounds to some people unbelievable. If you can get over those things, actually, although it's advanced, it's very accessible. It's very simple in its basic concepts, and it's extremely achievable and doable. So you need people who are willing to go beyond the surface and look into it. And we have some wonderful people. You've met some of them here who are active, and we're striving and working hard to continue the society, because the world needs it.
Exactly.
Desperately needs it. Exactly. And that's why we want to carry it on.
Oh, and well, I just want to say that, you know, thank all the Most High, thank the beings, and thank Dr. George King, who came to Earth.
I couldn't agree more.
To give us all of his teachings and the sacrifice he made, you know, and all the discipline that he had to raise his vibration and to use it of service to humanity. I mean, that is amazing that we can all aspire to be like that and use his teachings to have peace on earth. And it's just wonderful. So, Richard, thank you for being again.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been wonderful.